Tonight is an important message for us, and I believe a message that will throw us completely upon the mercies of God. And as we look to Him and behold Him and keep our eyes on Him, we know that He can continue to change us and transform us into His likeness, which is so essential. It is very important that a believer knows that transformation that is taking place day by day as we look to the Lord, that we are being changed more and more into the image. That should be an experience from a believer. And as tonight we look to the Word, so we believe that the power of God's Word is going to change us. And for those of you taking a title, we are calling our teaching tonight, Love Will Move Beyond Self. Love will move beyond self. And I want to speak tonight about love, God's love. And we know that the Greek shows three types of love, which is God's love, agape, as eros, and philia love. And whenever we are speaking of fellowship, our love for God, our love for each other, we are always referring to that agape love, God's love. And you have to be a born-again, spirit-filled believer to experience that love. And I want to show how that as a believer, God expects and will work with us where we will move beyond self that so hinders our love for God, that we can move that extra mile that we so often talk about. And I want to base our teaching tonight on a very familiar story, one that really speaks to all of us. And this is to be found in Mark 14, verses 3 to 9. And this speaks of Jesus, where he's anointed by the woman. And this took place in Bethany. And I want to open this up from verse 3 of Mark 14. Verse 3 of Mark 14, and we'll read this through to verse 9. And being in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, a woman came having an alabaster flask of very costly oil of spikenard. Then she broke the cask and poured it on his head. And there were some who were indignant among themselves, and said, Why was this fragrant oil wasted? For it might have been sold for more than 300 denarii, and given to the poor. And they criticized her sharply. But Jesus said, Let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a good work for me. For you have poor with you always, and whenever you wish, you may do them good. But me you do not have always. She has done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body for burial. Assuredly I say to you, wherever the gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will always be told as a memorial to her. So we see something very profound here, that what this woman done is a sign, and it will be told as a memorial in the gospel to the four corners of the earth. So this is pretty important, what we read here. Yet so often we overlook it, we disregard it, or we have our own thoughts and theories about it, and yet this is something that's very, very important with regard to love will move beyond self. Now, if our idea of love doesn't take us beyond ourselves, it isn't really love. It isn't God's love. If our love for God, our love which is being worked in our hearts, if it doesn't really move us beyond ourselves, then it isn't the love that will glorify God. You see, if our idea of love is just based on emotions, and love can be based on theology, knowing the three different types of love, we can all know about that, or we can base our love, you must have wisdom where your love is concerned, or where your love is, you must also practice caution, or just being sensible about love, your love. I doubt if we have fully understood the love of God in Christ Jesus. We are still excusing ourselves, and we're still trying to use things in which to reduce God's love and what God's love will do and manifest, as we're going to see as we look here. You see, God's love was so extreme that he offered up his only son as a gift to this world. God moved to such extremity in giving up his son as a sacrifice, as an offering unto death, so that you and I can be blessed tonight having fellowship in this room. That is love moving beyond all boundaries. That is love moving extreme. That is a love that knows no end, no beginning, no end. And God can work that same attitude and heart within us if we let him. But all the while that we're going to limit love by our type of understanding, or using wisdom, or just being cautious, or being oversensitive, or whatever it is, then we hinder God's love and the capabilities of his love and what his love can and will do. I am convinced that the greater works will come as we experience this love. We will see the growing of this assembly and souls being added to this assembly when we move beyond ourselves and we experience this love that God wants to teach and show us tonight. Because everything stems from this. Faith works by love. Without love, you have no gospel. Without love, you have no fellowship. Without love, you have no Christ. And yet, we need to experience and learn this love that God wants to shed abroad within our hearts. And this is why I'm calling this teaching tonight, Love Will Move Beyond Self. Because self is the biggest hindrance to God's love flowing in and through us. You see, we may deceive ourselves that we are loving, but it isn't always acceptable to God. You see, I preached on Sunday, didn't I, that faith has to be active, and faith works by love. And we can so easily deceive ourselves thinking that we are loving, but we're not really. Sometimes even families, the world out there, can show expressions of love even more sometimes than in the house of God. And that we can only bow our heads in shame. So God doesn't want us deceiving ourselves, particularly in this area. But have you ever done something for God that isn't necessarily useful or your duty? Or there isn't anything in it for me. Have you ever done something for God in that way? But simply because you love him. Have you ever done that? Have you ever done anything, something for God that isn't necessary, not even that useful, not your duty to love him and obey him? There isn't anything, no motive, nothing I want out of it. I simply have done something for God because I love him. Well, here we see this woman, and she typifies exactly what I have said there. And in verse 3 it says, "And being in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, a woman came having an alabaster flask of very costly oil of spikenard. Then she broke the flask and poured it on his head." Now some may say, what on earth is that all about? Many look at that and they don't really understand actually what's going on. A lot of people like to explain this part of scripture because of verse 9, which says again, "Assuredly I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial for her." So that's why she did it. That's why God did it. And also that it was signifying his burial. Verse 8, "She has done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body for burial." Well, yes, that may be signifying, that may be pointing to something that is going to happen, but what she is doing here is far greater. And I don't find many interpret this as to what this is really about, because this is about a love that will move beyond self. She used probably the only thing she had, something of great value. She decided to anoint him with this fragrant oil. Maybe it's all she had. Whatever it was extremely costly, and we know this because it upset the people around. They looked at it logically, this could be spent on the poor and help them and so on. And Jesus is above all of that emotion, all that logic, all the things that we do and say at times. We've all done it ourselves. He is seeing something far greater and deeper. And if you love God and you want to go beyond self, you are going to see areas of love that won't make sense logically. In fact, love doesn't make sense. Love can be a crazy thing. Sadly, the only love that we know in the world is an Eros love, which is a sensual love. And you've got many novels and stories and poems and books written about love and the depths that people will go for love and what they will do and the most radical things. Who can explain love? That's how the world looks at it. And yet we can take that over to the spiritual and God's love. Then there are similarities in that sense, and yet God's love will move to degrees even beyond sensual love or Eros love. And this woman is revealing something unusual here, and this is why Jesus is receiving this from her. You see, so often we can be caught up debating about God, debating, teaching, talking about love. We can talk about church and church organization. We can talk about theology. We can just be caught up in so many things, caught up in busyness and neglecting all the things you could be doing for Jesus. Isn't that sad? You see the scene here, they're all there, they're them getting all caught up about the cost of this. She's wasting this. And yet this woman has found in her heart something to give to Jesus. And brothers and sisters, you have an opportunity with God's love in this walk of the deeper life to start to give to Jesus those things that please his heart, that he takes delight in. This is not works, but it's just simple human things, things that reveal you are, yes, in faith, but it's also revealing you're fully surrendered. Because this woman, giving up probably all that she had got, revealed her love will surrender all to him. And this is why we make so much about surrendering to the Lord. Romans 12:1-2, giving yourself up as a living sacrifice. It's that surrender. You can do no greater thing than that. And she is revealing, by what she's doing here, she's willing to go all the way. She's willing to surrender. She's willing to spend probably every penny she's got on him to anoint him. And what does Jesus say? Let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a good work for me. Have we done a good work for Jesus? Or are we still so consumed in ourselves? What I want, my own thing. You know, love will move beyond all of that. You will be astounded what God's love can and will do through each of us. Not only that, but it's such a great deliverance. It is our deliverance. So often at times we're looking at certain things that we need deliverance from and everything, and yet when we're totally surrendered, God's love taking over, that is the greatest deliverance. Because nothing else can oppress us or remain there. It's God doing it. Have you ever done what Mary of Bethany did? She has done a good work, Jesus said, for me. Now, we may be all bowing our heads in shame on this, but you know, a true disciple, if listening to the word of God, will say, Lord, I have never done this. I have not even thought about this. This is something new tonight to me. This is something more than I'm seeing about God's love. There's something within you will start to cry out for God to work that in your heart. Because I believe this is the key to God's heart. This is the key to where we bless the Lord. We minister to Him. So often we want Him ministering to us. And yet here we see this woman, she is ministering to Him. She's putting Him first. She has seen something about love, about relationship, about commitment. She has seen it's not about me, it's not about us, it's about Him, you see. And God will challenge us with His love in that area. You see, God will look to see if we will give Him those small gifts of surrender in our lives. This is why I said earlier in this teaching, the only greatest thing you can do is to surrender self. Placing self on that altar, Romans 12, 1 and 2. And you will find that you can give to God in those small areas of surrender of your life, which comes to Him as a gift, just like this woman of Bethany who gave Him the gift of the oil, the anointing, the spikenard. That was her gift to Him. Yes, you will find other people will interpret it wrong, just like the disciples did and all that were there. They will see it as a waste of time. They will see it in a religious way. Well, all that money you can spend on good works, you can put towards whatever thing that you are supporting. But the point is that Jesus said, leave her alone. And that is what He's going to say to us sometimes when we interfere. When we interfere with brother or sister or what they're doing, an act of love, giving to God, God will say, leave them alone. Maybe you can learn something from that. See, that's what Jesus was wanting to do. And that's why He said that will be a memorial. That will be in the gospel. This is what He was saying. This woman will be spoken of down the corridors of time. Therefore, leave her alone, because what she has done is very important. She's doing it to me. And if you love someone, you are going to surrender those things. In a relationship, on our earthly, natural relationships, we surrender, we sacrifice at times for each other. We go that extra mile. We do those things. And yet, we don't do it for God, do we? And the reason being is because we're still so emotionally attached to our families, husbands, wives, children, and so on. It's still those emotions that control, instead of faith, which worketh by love, God's love. And the only way that that can be achieved and changed is simply to surrender. Is just offer yourself up on that altar and remain there in that surrendered state until the fire consumes you and changes you. Because God says He will change these hearts of stone and makes them into hearts of flesh. And so it's a process. It's a going on, isn't it? It's that being changed, as I said when I began this teaching this evening. how small the gift is to God, that gift is a gift of surrender. Not my will, but thy will be done. Jesus' gift to his Father as a living sacrifice was his surrendering unto death to the cross. That was him giving back to God. Just like this woman that is anointing Jesus' head with that precious ointment, that spikenard, giving everything that she's got, she gave to him. And that's what we do when you love someone. And when you love God, you give to him. And that giving is a surrendering. That giving is not your ideas, not your will, what you want, or what you want out of God, or anything. It is a simple giving to him in a surrendered state. And you know, to be surrendered to God is more precious than even our holiness. We're so concerned, aren't we? So much about our personal holiness. Am I in faith? Am I walking in obedience? And all those things. And yes, they have a place. They really do. But we should be more concerned, am I offering up those gifts of surrender and obedience to God? That is what should be consuming us. That is what should be our motivation, our walk each day. That's why God is looking for love that will move beyond self. Because our own self-love is always something that is attached to it. There's always something in return that we want if I love, if I sacrifice, if I do this, what will I get in return? This woman was not looking for anything like that. She simply gave that to him. And of course, those around, they didn't understand. They were indignant, trying to use their theology, trying to use their wisdom, their understanding of God and scripture and everything. How often we can misuse the word of God and sling it at people as though we're defenders of the faith. And God will say, just like he said to this woman, leave her alone. In other words, stop it. You don't understand yet what she's doing, but you will, because what this woman has done is a memorial to her, and it will be in the gospel, and it will go to the four corners of the earth. This is why this story is a very powerful and important story, because this story is speaking to those who desire to mature and grow in the faith. This isn't for babes. This isn't for those on milk. This is for those who want the solid, the meat of the word, who want to become those sons of God. Because the sons of God, the bride that's making herself ready, and she is, the church is now in these last days, she will look for any opportunity to surrender and give those gifts of surrender to God. Out of love and relationship. That is what love will do. Love will just do things and not expect a thank you or something in return. Love will go that extra mile when even what you've done, nobody will recognize it. Nobody will be grateful. Nobody will say anything. They are the surrenders that you give to God. They are the gifts when nobody has recognized. When at times you're like a doormat. And what do they write on a doormat often? Welcome. And a doormat is trodden on. There are times when you will just be trodden over. And nobody will see you. Nobody will recognize you. And yet what you have done for the Lord. That is your small gift of surrender up unto the Lord. This is why love will move beyond self. God's love in us will seek any opportunity, any way, because the nature of God's love is always to extend and move out where others or very few are ever going. This sort of love, you will often find nobody else is with you. Nobody else is doing this. It is you doing it unto the Lord. No one else, like this woman, was doing what she was doing. She was the only one. And being criticized for it. And yet God will have a way of saying in time, leave her, leave him alone. What they have done is to me, because they love me. And that's why, you see, when you really start to move in this area, in this walk with God, you're going to start to see then that your faith works by love. And you'll find that this love will just see no end. It will never be limited. We will be able to keep our minds out of it, our prejudice out of it, our thoughts out of it. We're still so often motivated with our love because we prefer a person to someone else, or we feel we have something in common with that brother or sister, but we're a bit cool or aloof with somebody else because we don't have anything in common with them. That isn't the love that God is speaking about here. No way. Man's love is gregarious. Man's love is tribal. Man's love is selective. That's the limitation. That's as far as it'll go. But God's love will move beyond all those boundaries. God's love will divide any war, any partition, any prejudice, any tribal thinking, any denominational thinking, all these things that so hinder Christianity. God's love will divide all of that and move beyond it. We see so often the Apostle Paul. He moved amongst circles. He moved amongst his own kind, Jews, Pharisees, scribes, tax collectors, and so forth. Yes, he got persecuted. He sought any opportunity, even to go into the synagogues, knowing full well he'd probably face an argument or probably could be stoned. But love moved beyond that. It was his surrender to God. It was his gift to God. And you're functioning in the body with the gifts that God has given each one of us. We'll move beyond self. Well, I don't feel like praying today in the church. Or I don't feel like exhorting. Or I don't feel like prophesying or whatever it would be. It's got nothing to do with that. Love will move beyond that. Because your gift is you surrender over to the Holy Spirit, who will anoint and lead and guide. Brothers and sisters, I've had to learn this one many years ago. Preachers, ministers of the word, many times don't feel like preaching the word of God. Or sometimes you just feel off color. Or you've had a busy time. Or you're tired. There can be so many things. It's about surrender. It's about giving it unto the Lord. You do it unto Jesus. And what motivates that? Because you love him. And he has worked his love in your heart, and he will do it in your heart, and you will see yourself moving into boundaries, into areas, into depths that you never thought could be possible. Because love will move beyond self. Love will sometimes take on the burden of intercession and pray and intercede until you know it's broken through. There's so much in this church we still yet haven't experienced. And the question is tonight, whether you want to or not, after hearing this teaching. That's the question. You know, sometimes we can hide behind, I must get in prayer, I must study the word, I must pray more, or whatever it is, and we can so often use all of that as an excuse that our love is not moving beyond self. As I said, our small gifts to God are our surrender. That is our gift, that is our giving. It's interesting that in 1 John 4:18, which says that love will cast out all fear, all bondage, and love will do that. Love will cast out all those hindrances that stop us from moving beyond self. Love is our deliverance. And we preach the deeper life. And very much in the deeper life teaching, it is about deliverance, being changed, being set free. But really, the love of God is what really ultimately sets us free. If we allow him to do that. And so when we surrender to him, it proves that we are of value to him. You see, many only see it as being used of God. We hear so many saying today, oh, I want to be used of God. You know, brothers and sisters, my heart's desire is I want to be of value to him. And I think there's a difference. There's a difference in that. You see, no one is of use to him. It's the value. Why? Because you can't put a price where there is a value in that sense. This is why God says we are his peculiar treasure. He refers to us as his treasure. We've been redeemed by the blood of Christ. You can't put a price on the blood of Jesus. It has no price, no value in that sense. So we talk about when you are of value to God, we're talking about something that is priceless, that is so valuable. And that should be your heart's desire. I desire to be of value to you, Father. And this woman, this act, what she did, was showing that she is and will be of value to him. She didn't have to do it. She simply did it to minister to him, to surrender to him. There are times when you don't have to do something for God, but you desire to do it for him. I want to do it. It's the same in our relationships with each other, in love. Sometimes we desire just to do something for our loved one, just to buy something different, or just to do something, or maybe just a surprise, just take them out somewhere, just something special. And there's something so warm and so nice about it, because they didn't have to do it. But they did it. God has feelings, brothers and sisters. Those feelings that we have, what I'm talking about, are all inspired from Him anyway. He put them there at the beginning. They're always to be found in Him. And we're made in His image. Therefore, we can offer back to Him our love in that special way. Maybe we've never ever thought about this before. Maybe we've unlocked something tonight. Hopefully we have looked at this story here and we've seen now something far deeper and greater about this story. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, and whenever you wish, you may do them good. But me, you do not have always." So she was realizing, in her small way, she was giving to Him, because maybe He wasn't going to be around much longer, or maybe she wouldn't see Him. Whatever the motive, the thing was that she gave to Him. And Jesus touches on a very important point. He says that you have the poor with you always, and whenever you wish, you may do them good. But me, you do not have always. So He's pointing to the poor. He's pointing to the destitute, the afflicted. They were all around Him. He wasn't pointing to the rich, to the wealthy, the tax collectors or whatever. So He was pointing to those whom He was called to those who desire to hear the gospel. And He said, that's always around you. All those Christian things will always be around you. Giving to the poor will always be around you, and that has a place. Giving to the church, giving to the ministry is always around you. And yes, that has a place, and we have our duty. But Jesus goes further than that. She has done what she could and has come beforehand to anoint my body for burial. So she has done what she could. She couldn't do any more. She had done, that's all she had got. As valuable as it is. And of course those looking around thought it was an absolute waste. But they failed to see that her gift was a surrender. Her gift was a sign that she's willing to put herself on the altar and surrender herself, her heart, that independent spirit that so stops us from moving with God. When you surrender to God, you have let go. That's what it is. When the fire comes down and consumes that offering, which is you, that is a clear sign you have let go, and you have remained, and you are staying on the altar. Do you know our trouble is? We get near the altar, and then we have second thoughts. Or we quickly get up on it, and we think, oh, I don't like it here, and I get off. No, you stay on it. And the fire will fall. And when you stay on it, that is a sign you have let go. You have let go of anxiety. You have let go of fear. You have let go of doing it yourself, your ideas, what you think is right. You've let go of the lot. And that frees you to surrender those gifts to God. And you will experience that greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. and I live by the life of Christ in me. And everything that the world will see is what Christ is doing in and through you. And so when you move beyond self, when love moves beyond self, goes that extra mile, surrenders, that is ultimately God's love working in and through you in which to do that. Why, even Jesus walked by that principle, as I close now. He said, the works that I do are what the Father reveals. That is the principle that he walked by. Even going to the cross, he surrendered and knew that the power of God would raise him from the dead, in which it did. And so when we give up our self-life, when we give up that independent spirit, then it is the power of God, the very same power that raised Christ from the dead, very same power that works in you, raising you up in Christ. Isn't that wonderful? We have everything to gain in this walk, brothers and sisters. And that is why John the Baptist was regarded as the greatest prophet. And I'll tell you why. Because when he saw the Lamb of God, he said, I decrease, that he increases. He saw something. He saw that the power of the Spirit, the fire of the Spirit, now will live with man and he will take over. That's what he was seeing. And yet how many believers, how many professing Christians see this? They're still bound by works, by legalism. It says we surrender over. God will do it in and through us. You cannot love your enemy in the natural. You cannot turn your face to be slapped the other side. You cannot forgive your brother or sister, your enemy, 70 times if called for. It can only be done when God's love is burning in your heart and my heart. That's the only way it can be done. And that is where God gets all the glory. We're still trying to do it in the flesh, and we will fail. But brothers and sisters, if our heart's desire is like this woman, to offer our gifts of surrender, you want to give to him, then God's going to accept it. And he's going to be blessed by it, because I believe in this walk with Almighty God, he's going to let us know in our hearts when we please our Heavenly Father. It's going to be a warmth. It's going to be a glow. It's going to be a great peace and blessing to know that what I have done, my gift of surrender, has blessed his heart. Not about me, what I get out of it, what I want. I have done this for my Lord and Savior. Heavenly Father, again tonight we thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for the way you speak into our lives, and you speak life. We thank you, Father, how we're quickened by your Spirit, by your word. But Lord, tonight we have seen how we can give to you. And it is by that surrendering, that surrendering of the independent spirit, that surrendering of my mind, what I think, my logic. It is just letting go. So often our giving to you is getting out of the way and letting go so that you take over. Father, put that desire within our hearts which that woman had when she anointed you, Father, with that ointment. she gave, she simply gave and wanted to give to you. Let that be the desire within our hearts, we ask, Father, in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. The Lord is faithful, and it's been a blessing tonight to share and fellowship with you all. I trust that you will all have a blessed week, and that God will be with you, that you'll be ever covered by the blood of Jesus. And thank you for your time and listening to the word. I trust that we will all of us bear the fruit of this, because Jesus said you will know them by their fruit. So the Lord bless you all. You have a blessed week. We assemble again. And for those who are in the assembly, we will be having our prayer meeting on Sunday, 11 o'clock at Andover. 11 o'clock Andover. Until then, every blessing to you all.
And Jesus is the